Hello, hello again.
We're back, bitches!
Been gone for a while.
For seems like an eternity.
Since October.
It's crazy.
I think we did our last episode right before you went to St. Martin
and almost
became a true crime story yourself.
That's true. Yeah, we'll have to talk about that one day. That was crazy.
So I think since we've been on hiatus since last year and it's a new year, I think we'll start off with the new season.
Yeah, season two.
Yeah.
How exciting.
I know. Okay. Today, I'm going to be talking about Willie Picton.
Willie Picton.
Mm-hmm. He was known as the pig farm killer, I think. It's something like that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of this one.
He's Canadian.
Okay.
There wasn't a ton of details out on him, especially before he became a serial killer.
Oh, okay. So early life, not much known out there?
Not a lot known. His name was actually Robert William Picton, but he went by Willie.
Okay.
He was born October 24th, 1949. His parents were Leonard and Louise Picton, and they were a family of pig farmers in Port Coquitlam, British Columbia, Canada.
Okay, so he was born in Canada.
Mm-hmm. And that's a little ways east of Vancouver area, so. Most of his friends described him as a quiet and simple guy. Didn't really have any habits that would draw much attention.
Kind of just fly under the radar type of guy.
Exactly. He wasn't known to be very much of a drinker. He didn't really...
Well, there's the first red flag.
I know.
Who doesn't use alcohol to cope?
Exactly.
Sorry, I don't mean that, people. Okay, I do, but anyway.
Well, you know, he also didn't use any substances. He didn't, no substance abuse. He was never known to be violent. A little history on their farm. In 1905, William Picton, who is his great-grandfather.
Okay.
He bought land near a mental hospital and raised hogs. His children grew up, and they also raised hogs. His children's children grew up and raised hogs.
So this all is just on that generation, same farm. What they all did.
In the late 50s, the Pictons were forced to sell their farm and move because they had to make way for the a highway that was coming through.
Oh.
In 1963, Willie's dad, Leonard, and his wife, Helen, bought 40 acres of swamp for $18,000.
Swamp?
Yes.
I didn't even know they had swamps in Canada.
I didn't either. But they towed their farmhouse to the area, and then they started raising their children and pigs.
Mm-hmm.
So they had another pig farm after they, you know, the family was forced to sell the other
right.
one. They had their two sons, Willie and David, and then they had a daughter, Linda, who wasn't brought up on the farm, but she attended a boarding school in the city.
Oh.
So mostly the boys stayed there.
Was she the youngest, maybe? Do we know?
I believe she was the youngest.
Oh.
But she went to boarding school. Eventually, she married a businessman. She lives in a really nice neighborhood near downtown Vancouver. You know, she just didn't really have much to do with the farm. Her brothers, though, they did remain on the farm. Willie ended up dropping out of school in 1963 when he was 14 years old.
Oh, wow.
He acquired a position as a butcher's apprentice. In 1970, he left the apprenticeship and started working full-time at the family farm.
They must have had a lot of pigs.
It must have.
Or to be running like that.
The father died in 1978, and the mother died in 1979.
Oh, close
together. So the brothers were in their late 20s at that point, and they inherited the farm with their sister.
Mm-hmm.
In 1994, the Pictons actually became rich.
Really?
Their farmland, which, like I said, was purchased for $18,000 in 1963, was now worth It was worth $300,000 in 1993. By 1994, it was valued at $7.2 million.
Damn! How?
I don't know.
Shit.
In the fall of 94, they sold part of their farm for $1.7 million to Eternal Holdings, which is a townhouse development company.
Okay. Damn.
That same year, the city of Port Coquitlam also bought a chunk of their land for $1.2 million and turned that into a park. In 1995, Port Coquitlam School District bought a piece of the farm for $2.3 million and built Blakeburn Elementary School. So, at this point, they had, like, what, almost $5 million?
About $5 million, yeah.
Yeah.
Between the three of them, I guess. They still had to split it with the sister.
I think so. Since she inherited a piece of it.
Yeah.
Around this time, when they became millionaires, women started to go missing in pretty alarming numbers in British Columbia's downtown east side.
Really?
Of Vancouver. Once they became millionaires, they kind of started to neglect the pig farm business of what was left of the land they had.
I would say, so even though they sold some, they still kept running a little bit of the pig farm?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But they kind of started to neglect that, and they registered a non-profit charity by the name of the Piggy Palace Good Times Society.
Okay, that just sounds like something fucked up out of a movie, like people wearing pig masks and fucking each other and shit.
Doesn't it?
No, thank you. No Piggy Palace shit for me.
Piggy Palace Good Time Society.
Yeah, that's crazy.
They registered that with the Canadian government in 1996. What they claimed was to organize, coordinate, manage, and operate special events, functions, dances, shows, and exhibitions on behalf of service organizations, sport organizations, and other worthy groups. So eventually, what these not-for-profit events ended up being were a bunch of rave parties where members of bands, party goers, they would all come and engage in substance abuse, and there were a lot of sex workers there.
Like I said, wearing masks and fucking each other.
The events would attract as many as like 2,000 people.
What? Damn. No. This is not small.
Mm-mm. In March of 1997, Willie was charged for the attempted murder of a sex worker named Wendy Lynn Eistetter, who had been stabbed several times following an argument at the farm.
Oh, was this at one of the parties?
Mm-hmm. She had informed the police that Picton had handcuffed her, but she had escaped after suffering several lacerations. She told him she disarmed him and stabbed him with his weapon.
Oh.
He actually sought treatment at a hospital while she was recovering in an emergency room. He ended up being released on about $2,000 bond, and the charge ended up being dismissed in January of 98.
Of fucking course it was.
I know. Months later, the Pictons actually ended up being sued by Port Coquitlam officials for violating their zoning ordinances. They neglected the agriculture for which it had been zoned, and having altered a large farm building on the land for the purpose of holding dances, concerts, and other recreations.
Oh.
So they had set up that nonprofit, but right. The land was actually zoned to be farmland.
I see.
Not a big party barn.
Yeah.
So the Pictons actually ended up ignoring that legal pressure. Ended up holding a New Year's Eve party in 1998.
They just said, oh, okay, sure, I'll just ignore this.
Yeah. And after that big New Year's Eve party, they ended up facing an injunction banning future parties. The police were authorized to arrest and remove any person who was attending any future events at the farm. So this,
they were serious.
Yeah.
With it then.
Their nonprofit status was actually removed the following year in 1999. And it was removed because they had an inability to produce financial statements.
Imagine that.
Mm. So the nonprofit subsequently was disbanded.
Mm-hmm. No more Piggy Palace Good Times.
In late 1998, task force detectives for all those missing women in the downtown east side area, they heard from Bill Hiscox, who was a 37-year-old man that had turned to drugs and alcohol after his wife died.
Mm-hmm.
His foster sister actually ended up pulling him out of that, found him a job at PMB Salvage, which is in a town called Surrey, southeast of Vancouver. The proprietors of that business, of course, were Willie Picton and his brother David. Bill would pick up his paychecks at the pig farm, though.
Okay, so they still had the pig farm.
Yeah.
How many women were missing at this point? Did it ever say?
It's a lot. Several a year was going missing.
Oh, like, really?
Oh, yeah. Bill grew concerned about the Pictons after he read newspaper reports on all those missing women in the Vancouver area.
So he just automatically thought something don't seem right here?
Right. He said that Willie was a pretty quiet guy. He was hard to strike up a conversation with, but I don't think he had much use for men. Picton drove a converted bus with deeply tinted windows, Hiscox told the authorities. He said it was Willie's pride and joy, and he wouldn't part with it for anything. He said Willie used it a lot.
Hmm. Well, stalker van.
Right. There you and go. When Wendy Eistetter had been stabbed by Willie, uh-huh. that kind of cemented Bill's suspicion about Willie. He said that, you know, Willie was quite a strange character aside from the assault. Bill told the police, all the girls that are going missing and all the purses and IDs are out there in his trailer and stuff. So when he was going out there to pick up those paychecks, he was seeing purses and IDs of women.
What a fucking idiot to just leave them out in the open.
Bill also told the detectives that Willie frequented the downtown area all the time for girls.
So he knew he was going there. Were most of these sex workers mm-hmm. that were missing?
Mm-hmm. I think they all were. Police recorded Hiscox's statement, and a detective accompanied him to the pig farm afterward, vowing to push the higher-ups all the way to the top to investigate. Subsequent reports indicated that the farm was searched 3 times, apparently without result. The brothers would remain as persons of interest to the inquiry, but no surveillance would be mounted on the farm.
Police. Fucking lazy fuckers. Who knows if they even searched the farm?
Well, police ended up getting a tip that Willie had, that the Pictons, both him and David, had unregistered guns on his farm. And the police raided it because, of course, I don't believe Willie was allowed to have firearms after the whole assault thing.
Oh, yeah.
So on February 5th, 2002, the police executed a search warrant for illegal firearms at the property. They took him into custody, and the police then got a second court order to search the farm as part of the BC Missing Women investigation when personal items, including a prescription asthma inhaler belonging to one of the missing women, were
found. So they've supposedly already searched this 3 times. Never and found nothing. Mm-hmm. And now they're searching and now they're finding all kinds of shit.
Mm-hmm. The farm ended up being sealed off by members of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and the Vancouver Police Department Task Force. The following day, Willie was charged with storing a firearm contrary to regulations. Possession of a firearm while not being a holder of a license and possession of a loaded restricted firearm without a license. They actually ended up releasing him, but they kept him under police surveillance.
Shut up. Oh my gosh.
On further investigation, the police started to suspect Willie of a series of murders of the various missing women over the course of the year, Willie was charged for a total of 15 first-degree murders.
Damn.
So, his original arrest was February 5th.
Mm-hmm.
On February the 22nd of 2002, he was arrested and charged on 2 counts of first-degree murder in the deaths of Serena Abbotsway and Monica Wilson. On April 2nd, 2002, 3 more charges were added for the murders of Jacqueline McDonald, Diane Rock, and Heather Bottomley. A 6th charge... for the murder of Andrea Jonesbury was laid down on April 9th, 2002, followed shortly by a 7th for Brenda Wolfe. On September 20th, 2002, 4 more charges were added for the slayings of Georgina Pappin, Patricia Johnson, Helen Hallmark, and Jennifer Firminger.
So this is 11 at this point, mm-hmm. right?
4 more charges for the murders of Heather Chinnock, Tanya Holick, Sherry Irving, and Inga Hall were laid on October 3rd, 2002, bringing the total to 15, making the investigation the largest of any serial killer in Canadian history. On May of 2005, 12 more charges were laid against him.
What?
For the killings of Kara Ellis, Andrea Borhaven, Deborah Lynn Jones, Marnie Frey, Tiffany Drew, Carrie Koski, Sarah DeVries, Cynthia Felix, Angela Jardine, Wendy Crawford, Diana Melnick, and a Jane Doe, which was an unidentified woman, bringing the total of first-degree murder charges to 27.
Fuck.
Excavations at the farm continued for over a whole year. It made it one of the most expensive investigations in Canada's history, costing about $70
million. $70 million just to do all that?
The excavations revealed cut skulls, broken jaws, and other bodily remains of multiple women, including the DNA of as many as 33 different women.
Shut up. How have I never heard of this guy?
I guess maybe because it was Canada.
Fuck.
Forensic analysis was very difficult because the bodies of the victims may have been left to decompose or had been allowed to be eaten by insects and pigs on the farm.
I would say the pigs ate them.
Mm-hmm. It's rumored he did feed some to the pigs.
I hope they were already dead when he did that.
I would hope.
That would be a bad way to die.
During the early days of the excavations, forensic anthropologists brought in all kinds of like heavy equipment, conveyor belts, soil sifters to find traces of the remains. On March the 10th of 2004, it was revealed that human flesh may have been ground up and mixed with pork from the farm.
Shut your mouth.
The pork was never distributed commercially, but was handed out to friends and visitors of the farm. Another claim made is that he fed the bodies directly to his pigs.
I love bacon, but damn.
Oh.
Man.
With human flesh mixed in?
Yeah, no. So, did they think that the brother was innocent? Like, he didn't know any of this shit?
I don't think he did. He wasn't a part of it. I mean, I think it was all just Willie.
That's a lot of killing for one man.
So, when they were searching the grounds, like I said, police found remains of, like, skulls that had been cut in half and were stuffed with human hands and feet.
What? Okay, like, so they cut the skull in half and then put hands and feet inside of the skull?
Uh-huh.
What a sicko.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, DNA from 33 women. They also found bloody clothing belonging to one of the victims. They found a jawbone and teeth that belonged to another victim. They found a .22 revolver with a dildo attached to the barrel.
What the fuck?
A rounds for a .357 Magnum. Two pairs of faux fur lined handcuffs. A pair of night vision goggles. Photos of a garbage can containing the remains of a victim.
God.
Willie claimed that the dildo, which had the DNA of him and a victim on it, had been meant to function as a makeshift suppressor, like a silencer.
Yeah, right. He probably... Ugh. Well, that's just... Yeah. He's a fucked up... Like, for real.
He's super twisted. The gun had a spent cartridge in it, so, I mean, maybe he, like, put it in her mouth and just pulled the trigger. I mean, who knows? God.
After he put it in his own asshole.
Gross.
It had his DNA on it. Nasty fucker.
Ugh. While he was in custody, Willie told an undercover officer who was posing as a fellow inmate that he wanted to kill one more in order to bring his victim count to an even 50, which suggested that he's responsible for about 49 murders.
So obviously he was dumping other places then, or the pigs consumed literally all of the...
And you know they will.
It. Yeah.
They'll eat everything.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So he really had upwards of almost 50 then.
Mm-hmm. A video recording of a statement was later used as evidence in his trial. His trial began January the 30th of 2006 in New Westminster. He pleaded not guilty to the 27 charges of first-degree murder. The voir dire phase of the trial took most of the year to determine what evidence might be admitted before the jury.
How about all of it?
Exactly. Reporters weren't allowed to disclose any of the material that was presented in the arguments. That's part of the reason as to why there wasn't a lot of information.
Oh, yeah.
Because they weren't allowed to...
It's a lot different up there, I guess, mm-hmm. the way they handle that kind of stuff.
Yeah. On March 2nd, one of the 27 counts of murder was rejected by Justice James Williams for lack of evidence. It's probably... I don't know. I was about to say it's probably one he fed to the pigs.
Probably.
On August 9th, Justice Williams severed the charges, splitting them into one group of 6 counts and another group of 20. The trial proceeded on the group of 6 counts.
Okay.
The remaining 20 could have been heard in a separate trial, but ultimately those were stayed on August 4th of 2010. Because of the publication ban, full details of the decision weren't publicly available. So
that's so crazy. They should put that shit out there.
I know. The judge had explained, though, that trying all 26 charges at once would put an unreasonable burden on the jury, as the trial could last up to 2 years.
Damn, that is a long time.
I mean, could you imagine being pulled into jury duty and this is the shit you got to deal with for 2 years?
Yeah, that's... Oh. They better be giving me more than a sandwich and $10 a day. I know that.
And the judge also said that it would have increased the chance for a mistrial for all 26. So the judge added that the 6 counts he chose had materially different evidence from the other 20.
So he felt better about the conviction on those. It stinks for the other victims' families, though, but mm-hmm. I mean,
but if he goes down,
right.
I mean, he goes down for
exactly,
everything.
Yeah.
The date for the jury trial of the first 6 counts was initially set to start January 8th, 2007, but it was postponed to January 22nd. On that date, Willie faced first-degree murder charges in the deaths of Frey, Abbotsway, Pappin, Josbury, Wolf, and Wilson. The media ban was lifted, and for the first time, Canadians heard the details of what was found during the long investigation. The skulls. The remains of a victim stuffed in a garbage bag. How her blood-stained clothing was found in Picton's trailer. Part of another victim's jawbone and teeth were found beside Picton's slaughterhouse. The 22 with the dildo. All of that. They also played the videotaped recording where Picton claimed to have attached the dildo to his weapon as a makeshift silencer. Mm. As of February 20th of 2007, the information that had been presented to the court was during Picton's trial, lab staff testified that about 80 unidentified DNA profiles, roughly half male and half female, had been detected on the evidence.
80?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell?
Items found by the police inside Willie's trailer, of course... The gun, the fur-lined handcuffs. They also found a syringe with 3 milliliters of blue liquid inside and a Spanish fly aphrodisiac. They also found a videotape of Willie's friend, Scott Chubb, saying that Willie told him a good way to kill a female heroin addict was to inject her with windshield washer fluid.
What?
A second tape was played for Willie, in which an associate named Andrew Bellwood said that Willie mentioned killing sex workers by handcuffing and strangling them, then bleeding and gutting them before feeding them to the pigs.
My God.
Photos of the contents of a garbage can found in Willie's slaughterhouse, which held some of the remains of Mona Wilson. All of that was presented to the jury.
Man, this guy, he's different too, because he uses so many different ways, it sounds like, to kill people.
Yeah.
You know, he's not
like he didn't have
one right, like
one
most
MO
of them do. Yeah.
Or, you know, he's something. In October of 2007, One of the jurors was accused of having made up her mind already that Willie was innocent. The trial judge questioned the juror, saying, "It's reported to me you said from what you had seen, you were certain Mr. Picton was innocent. There was no way he could have done this. That the court system had arrested the wrong guy." The juror, of course, she denied this completely. And then Justice Williams ruled that she could remain on the jury since it hadn't been proven that she'd made the statements.
No.
Oh, he goes down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That some bitch ain't running around free.
Oh, Lord.
Justice James Williams suspended jury deliberations on December the 6th, 2007, after he discovered an error in his charge to the jury. Earlier in the day, the jury had submitted a written question to Justice James, requesting clarification of his charge, asking, "Are we able to say yes, i.e. find Willie guilty, if we infer the accused acted indirectly?" Why would they?
How do you act indirectly if you kill someone?
I know.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
3 days later, on December the 9th, the jury returned a verdict that Picton was not guilty on 6 counts of first-degree murder, but he is guilty on 6 counts of second-degree murder. So, yeah, a second-degree murder conviction in Canada carries a punishment of a life sentence with no possibility of parole for a period between 10 to 25 years to be set by a trial judge. I don't know why they would think he acted indirectly.
I don't know either. That's ignorant, in my opinion.
That's fucking...
I mean, obviously we weren't there for the trial, but we know what they were presented with at this point.
Yeah. So on December 11th, 2007, after reading 18 victim impact statements, the British Columbia Supreme Court Judge Justice James Williams sentenced Picton to life with no possibility of parole for 25 years, which is the maximum punishment for second-degree murder, and equal to the sentence which would have been imposed for a first-degree murder conviction.
Well, that doesn't make any sense either.
No. Justice Williams, when he passed the sentence, said, "Mr. Picton's conduct was murderous and repeatedly so. I cannot know the details, but I know this. What happened to them was senseless and despicable." And they sent him off to jail. And he's still there. But
he's still alive?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's got to be in his 70s. He's in his 70s now, right?
Yeah, if he's born in the 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my mom was 52 and 49. She'll be 70. So yeah. He's early 70s.
Yeah. He's still kicking. So he'll probably be dead before the 25 years when he'd be eligible for parole after 25 years. But
surely to God, they wouldn't let him out anyway.
I know. So he'll probably remain in jail for the rest of his days.
I can't believe that someone hasn't, like, tried to get him to write a book or do a, you know, something.
You know what? He did write his own book.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm. I haven't read it. I haven't looked into
probably
it.
Probably a bunch of fucking lies.
Exactly why I haven't looked into it. But yeah, he wrote his own book.
Hypothetically speaking, if I were a serial killer and I got caught and went away, I would write a book, but I'd just be like letting it all out. Like, yeah, I did this.
Yeah.
I did that.
Yeah.
I wish he would do something like
maybe
that.
I haven't looked into it. Maybe he
did do that.
Maybe he did. Mm. I mean, I don't.
If any of you listening have read it, you got to let us know.
Yeah. Let me look up the name of it real quick because. Yeah, it's called...
Is that him?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, he looks like a weirdo pig farmer.
Doesn't he?
Ooh. He reminds me of that weird butler with the weird hand from that movie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, movie with the weird little claw
the
hand.
The one they make all the COVID memes
yes,
with.
Yes, that's who he looks like, y'all. Ooh.
It's called Picton in His Own Words.
Picton in his own words.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does say here that he says he's innocent of the murders. So then again, maybe it is a load of bullshit.
Probably.
Who knows?
I don't know why. I feel like his brother had to have known or something too.
I mean, it is possible, I guess. But I don't, suppose they found the brother's DNA.
Right.
Anywhere. Yeah. But they found Willie's. Yeah.
Wow. I can't believe I've never heard of him. Well, good to know now.
I know, right?
Canada's supposed to be so nice, full of such nice people. Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Don't, do they say that there, or is that Minnesota? Don't.
Well, actually, that might be Minnesota. Canadians say A a lot.
Oh, A.
Yeah.
A.
Scarlet. I love Canadians, though. They are the very nice. I have been there.
Now you know about Willie Picton.
Oh, Willie Picton.
And the pig farm.
Yeah. So, I hope you guys enjoyed.
I hope you're glad we're back.
For real. I think we have to try to be better.
Yes, we do. Wrestling season will be over soon, too, so.
Yeah, I mean, we had, you know, the holidays, and, you know, wrestling season started
sicknesses,
back up.
Sicknesses, weather.
Yes, we have actually been trying to start recording since January.
Mm-hmm.
But every day we plan, we end up getting ice or a snowstorm. Something prevents
it. And we live about 30 minutes away from each other, so we can't just pop over and, you know, in the snow.
Yeah, especially when it's like 10 inches of snow.
Yeah.
Like it was that one day. And then the next time it was a big bunch of ice.
So now I got to figure out what we're going to do next time, Scarlett. Yes.
Super exciting.
Okay, let us know on any of our social media if you have any requests. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah, we're on all of them.
Hit us up.
For sure.
Thanks for listening.
We'll see you guys next time.
See you next time.
Bye.